Great to see you all here this morning. Last week we began a series that we're doing at Christmas called The Great Rescue. I thought Pastor Josh did a great job introducing it to us last week. And he reminded us that everybody loves a human, heartwarming rescue story. He also made us aware that there are some great ingredients to a great rescue. Let me just share those with you again this morning. Every great rescue involves a great plan. He talked about that last week, God's plan to rescue us. Every great rescue involves the right people, innovative methods, perfect timing, and flawless execution. This morning, I'd like to talk to you about the people part, the right people in God's rescue plan. A moment ago, you just watched a clip from, as Kurt told us, a movie called Hacksaw Ridge. Anybody seen it? Okay, enough of you have seen it. It's a real-life story about this particular man. Desmond Doss is his name. I want to tell you a little bit about his story, and then I'd like to segue into the greatest rescue of all time. The movie Hacksaw Ridge is based upon this man's real-life story. When Pearl Harbor was attacked, in fact, I don't know if you know this, past Thursday was a 76th anniversary of the bombing of Pearl Harbor, but when it initially happened, this man, Desmond Doss, was 23 years old. He was so moved by what happened at Pearl Harbor that he decided, even though he was a little older than most when they joined the service, he decided that he needed to do something to serve his country. And so he joined the United States Army. Little did he know that 3.5 years later, he would receive the highest award, the Medal of Honor, the highest award for bravery and courage. But I want to tell you the rest of the story. You see, there was not only a conflict going on between nations. When Desmond joined the military, there was also a conflict going on within his own soul. Because he knew that God was calling, he believed that God was calling him to serve our country in the military. The problem was he was a conscientious objector. Amen. He had a firm belief that he should not kill another human being. So his hope is that in offering his services to the military, he would find himself in a unit that dealt with saving people's lives, a medic unit. But as providence would have it, he actually ended up in what was called, I want to make sure I say this right, the Infantry Rifle Company. That's a problem. Just by the name, you can hear the problem. He found himself in that particular unit, which brought him into direct conflict with his goals that were in his heart. As you can imagine, finding himself in this unit, but unwilling to carry a rifle, caused him to be maligned and abused by the other soldiers in his unit for refusing to do what the unit was designed for. I read this week that officers and grunts alike tried to intimidate him into leaving the army. They tried to make claims that he was mentally unfit. This is all true, not just in the movie. To declare him mentally unfit to serve in the army, and they even tried to have him court-martialed for refusing the direct order to carry a gun. But it was to no avail.
Desmond stayed the course. He held on to his convictions. They weren't able to, through their abuse, get him to move aside. And they were unable to really court-martial him. Now, here's an interesting part of the story. Their anti-sentiment against him began to soften a bit when the other soldiers in his company realized that he had a gift, a God-given gift to heal the blisters on their feet. As they found themselves being hampered by these blisters on their feet, this man would spend time, hours, healing the sores, caring for the sores on his fellow soldiers' feet. I was thinking about that in light of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Even the ones who spoke ill of him. He was also the man that when the rest of them were fainting from heat stroke, Desmond was the man that came with his own canteen because theirs was empty and kept giving them drinks of water from his own canteen. But in the month of May in 1945, Desmond's life would change forever. It all took place. I want to show you a picture that I found. I don't know how well it shows up here. There's the real, on your left is the real picture of him standing on top of what's called the Medea Escarpment on the island of Okinawa. And on the right-hand side is the film version from Hacksaw Ridge of what that might have looked like. His company was called to invade and overtake this particular part of Okinawa, the island of Okinawa. But in order to do so, they had to be able to scale this cliff where the Japanese soldiers were up on top. Now, I heard conflicting reports. Some have said, and I don't know how they could be this far off on this number, but some have written and said that this escarpment was 450 feet high. Others have said it was only about 150 feet. I don't care whether it was 450 or 150 feet in the air. Trying to get that high up to the area that you need to in order to do what you're being called to do. But amazingly, many of his company, including Desmond, made it up the escarpment. But after they were up on top, the Japanese had staged a counterattack. And it called for our military to call off the engagement and began to retreat. But in the course of doing that, many soldiers were either wounded or killed on top of the escarpment, and Desmond himself found himself stranded up there. Now, the movie, if you've seen it, is really about what went on during this 12-hour period. And during a 12-hour period, most of it in the dark, this one man without a gun was able to rescue 75 of his fellow soldiers. That's what you just saw, the clip. And his saying was, after he would lower one down, he would say, "God, help me get just one more." And over the course of a 12-hour period, he lowered down off of that escarpment 75 of his fellow soldiers. Soldiers, I might add, who had spoken ill of him prior to this moment happening. He gained the admiration and respect of his fellow soldiers because he was willing to risk his own life in order to save theirs. I want to segue now and talk to you about the greatest rescue ever. This was a really good one. But the greatest rescue ever was done by a man named Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He was the right man for the job for so many reasons. He is the only one who could have done what he did. No one else could have done it. You see, a drowning man cannot save himself. Let me say that to you again this morning. A drowning man cannot save himself. We were all drowning in sin. People drowning in sin cannot save themselves. Look at the person to the right and left of you. Look at them. Look at them right now. They cannot save you because they also are drowning in sin. Drowning people, somebody may be here this morning and say to themselves, well, I can swim to shore by myself. I'm going to tell you, here's where we were at. If you fell out of a boat in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, that becomes a whole different proposition about swimming to shore by yourself. That was our state. That is our state without Christ. It's like we're in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and we're, you know, you can doggy paddle for a while. You can think, yeah, I can do this. But I'm telling you, you can never make it to shore. You can never save yourself. A drowning man cannot save himself. You need, and I need, someone who's not drowning to save us. In fact, what you and I need is someone who is actually able to walk on water. Someone who's able to walk on water and lift out their hand so that we have something to grab hold of and have him lift us up and back into the boat and eventually safe to shore. Drowning people cannot save themselves. You know, one of the things that I hinted at the play when I had a chance to say about a minute's worth of stuff, you know, the greatest thing that we needed rescued from is ourselves. You know, Kathy said in her prayer this morning, she said, she read that passage from Scripture in Ephesians that says, you know, Lord, help us not to speak ill. Help us not. What? All of this stuff is inside of us. All of this junk is there. It's in our sinful nature. We need somebody who doesn't have that going on to rescue and save us. Jesus Christ was the only choice. He was the only one who could save us. But here is the amazing thing, and this is what I want you to see this morning. Here is the amazing thing. God has always chosen to work through broken human vessels to bring about his rescue plan. Even if you go back to some of his earlier rescue plans, think about this. He decided to choose Moses, right? He decided to take a man who had killed another man in order to bring out about his rescue mission for the nation of Israel. God purposed long before Christ ever arrived, God purposed in his heart to work through a human vessel to bring about his ultimate rescue plan. Let me read it to you. In Isaiah 7:14, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child, and she will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. God was going to sovereignly work through the vessel of a broken human being, I know there are those out there that thinks Mary was somehow in this bubble thing, that she was saved from all that. So Mary was a woman like women sitting here today. Uniquely picked by God to do something incredible. But she was a broken human. God, if you look at it, open your Bible and read, God has always chosen to do his rescuing through other broken human beings. That's amazing. Yeah. Stop and think about that for a minute. You know, we can think, well, why didn't Jesus just hop in his heavenly spaceship and land in Bethlehem, right? Just land, say, I'm here. He said I was coming. Here I am. You know, a little Mork. Lord, a Mork and Mindy moment there, right? I'm here. But that's not how God does what he does. He works through brokenness. He works through human vessels. The coming of Jesus Christ to earth stands as an anchor for all of human history. Think about it for a minute. Even the dating system of the world revolves around when he arrived. B.C., A.D., which means the year of our Lord's favor. It's Latin for something there. People prior to Christ's coming looked to the promises that God had made, looked forward to the promises that God had made about a coming Messiah. That's where their faith was pointed towards. They set their heart towards those promises that God made. You and I, post-Christ, we look back at what at the coming of Christ and what Christ did as our means of salvation. It is the epicenter. His coming, his living, his death, his burial, his resurrection is the place where the cross crosses. It's this spot right here. But in order to bring that all about, God worked through ordinary people like you and me. It's mind-blowing. Mary was uniquely qualified to fulfill the role as the mother of Jesus. One of the aspects of the promise of God was that the Messiah would come through the royal line of David. When we read the genealogy of Jesus through Mary, we can see that in there. We can see David's lineage, the royalness of God, putting that all together. A man here that's been coming to our church wrote a very awesome article about the probability of how God kind of pulled all that stuff together. It's awesome. I may make some copies and hand them out here in the Welcome Center in the weeks to come. But anyways, Mary was uniquely qualified in terms of her lineage to be in the right place to bring forth this promised Son of God. But there would have been plenty of other women who also would have filled that bill. Mary wasn't like the only one. There would have been other women gifted and with that background to pull that off. So I asked myself, why Mary? Why Mary? Why this woman? Why this young lady? Why would God use her to bring about his ultimate rescue plan? Now, I want to preface everything I'm about to say by saying this. God can and will use anybody to bring about his purposes and plans. A donkey if needed. He will use an animal if needed. What I'm proposing to you this morning is that God is still in the business of performing his great rescue. And we as ordinary human vessels are being asked to be used by him. The question becomes, how can we best position ourselves for that to unfold well? Mary was used by God to bring about, on one hand, the culmination of everything the prophets had spoken about. Hundreds of years, thousands of years of things had been said that God would do. And now it's all happening here in Bethlehem. On the other hand, God is just beginning the incredible salvation of mankind through Christ Jesus. This morning, I would like to use an acronym to talk to you about why I think Mary found herself in the place that she did in performing the indescribable. I'm using the acronym of FAT. Whether you think of a late-term mother in her pregnancy, or in the days ahead here, you think of Santa Claus, I want you to think of FAT. FAT. Or if you think of me, I just want you to think FAT. What makes me? You won't forget this, right? You won't forget this. I'm trying to help you not forget it. What is going to enable us as people today to be positioned in such a way that God can use us in his ongoing rescue plan here on earth? FAT. He's looking for fat people. I'm in. The F stands for faithful. Faithful people. What made Mary a candidate to bring forth the Son of God? Yes, she came from a lineage that was right. But more importantly, she was a faithful young lady. We know that because when we read the account of her life, we know surrounding the nativity, we know this. We know that she was faithful in the way that she was trying to relate with her man-to-be. Hello? They were doing it right. She was faithful in that relationship. It says that she was found with child before they knew each other. They kept their relationship in a place of faithfulness. We know that in terms of her own heart, she was a faithful young lady. When she later on begins to describe, they call it the Magnificat, her song, that she wrote. It's there in Luke. And when you begin to read that, you begin to find out she said things like this: I'm a humble servant of the Lord. And she says about God, you are faithful. You extend mercy to those who fear you. She saw herself in that place. We know that she was not only faithful, but she was also faithful. Full. F-U-L-L. Faith full. Her cousin Elizabeth, who also was with child in John the Baptist, it says, she said about Mary, she says, blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has told her. She was full of faith. Mary, by all measurements that we have about her in the Bible, is seen to be a faithful person. She was going about her life in a way that was pleasing to the Lord. If we want to position ourselves to be also a part of God's, the greatest rescue plan, you and I must have hearts that are full of faith. We must also be faithful in the way that we go about doing our lives. He uses people who are faithful. Mary was like a dedicated Debbie that was positioned well to be used by the Lord. You know, I hear once in a while as I'm in talk with people, they'll say, you know, I met so-and-so and so-and-so, and they seem to really know the Bible, really know it. They, you know, they're quoting verses, and they're, you know, they got some stuff. They got it stuck up there in their brain. But those, sometimes you'll hear things like, they seem to know the Bible, but somehow it's not translating into their own life. That's because they're missing the ingredient of being faithful. Just getting up every day and doing to our heart's best ability, doing what we know God's calling us to do. Faithful. Faithful. The F in fat. The A is for available. How can we position ourselves to be also used in God's great rescue plan? We live a life of just being faithful to God. You know, we're not out there like, you know, way out ahead of everybody else. No, we're just being faithful. We're just putting one foot in front of the other. Each day, day after day, after day, just doing what we know God's called us to do. That is putting us in a position of being able to be used effectively by God. But the A is for available. Available. Mary said, "May it, as I am the Lord's servant, may it be to me as you have said," when speaking to the angel. Someone once said, it's not our eligibility to God that matters, it's our availability. In a very real sense, none of us are eligible. When Jesus walked planet Earth, he simply said to people, come and follow me. He will make us eligible. What we have to ask ourselves is, am I available? Am I available to be used by him? The enemy of our souls is always trying to convince us that we are not eligible to be used by God. Some people are convinced that God could never use me. And I say to that person, really? Have you ever read the Bible to see who God used? God has always been able to use anybody that simply says, here am I, send me. I'm available. I may be a little rough around the edges, but I'm available. I'm in. The F is for faithful. The A is for available. The T is for teachable. Teachable. Mary's not sure how all of this is going to unfold or come about because she's never been with a guy. As you can imagine, she had some questions. She said, how will this be since I am a virgin? Gabriel then tries to explain to her He explains to her the unexplainable. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And the angel felt to make sure he added this caveat, all things are possible with God. You may notice when you go back and read that, you may notice that Mary didn't argue his point. Well, now that can't be. How in the world is that going to happen? I don't believe it. Mary didn't demand more information. Well, listen, if I'm going to be available, if I'm going to do this thing, you got to give me more information than that. Right? Yeah, I need more information. I'm not sticking my neck out here on the limb. I'm not going to make a fool of myself here. Come on, Gabriel, give me some more information. No, she just went with what he taught her, what he told her. You know, God's going to do something here. Can you imagine Gabriel having to explain this? God up in heaven. Hey, I got a job for you. You're going to get down and tell this lady. Good luck. I hope that works for you. Man, what a job. Mary, I don't know how to tell you this. You're going to have a baby and God's going to be a part of that, and is that enough? Are you good? Are you good with that? Mary was good with it. I want to show you a picture that I found. This is in a beach down in Florida. And there was a whole family that had gotten swept out in an undertow at the beach. And they were trying to figure out how they were gonna get this family, rescue this family. And so the story goes that someone came up with the idea of forming a human chain. And so they summoned out a call on the beach there, and people from all over the beach came together, and they started to link together their arms, and somebody was obviously on shore, and then others, as this picture indicates, you know, the farther you went out, the deeper it was, but they formed a human chain, and they were miraculously able to rescue the whole family back to shore. More recently, when Harvey came ashore in Texas, we see a similar thing where, you know, there was some people stranded in their car, and I guess there was a current there that for one person it would have been difficult for them to get to them, but they formed a human chain in order to get the person or people out of the car there in that situation. Listen, in terms of what we're talking about, the greatest rescue ever, Jesus Christ is the anchor. He is the one that is the rock, the immovable person that the rest of us are connected to, right? That he's our brother. We've linked arms, we've linked our hearts with his heart, and but we're also in this great rescue plan that God's got underway, we're also called to link arms with each other. I'm not trying to undermine the role that Christ plays, but sometimes when we overestimate his part in all of it, we do disservice to underestimating the fact that God works through other human vessels and beings to bring about his great rescue plan. So listen, in case you didn't know, there's still people drowning out there. I'm not talking literally, although that's happening too. But figuratively, there are other people still drowning out there. This morning on the way into church, I heard about several different people, crisis situations in people's lives. There are people who are broken and drowning in the torrent of brokenness and sin in this world. They're drowning. You and I are, God is still in the rescuing business. He didn't come to earth, put this thing all together and say, okay, we're done. What he did was, he came down here, made it possible for a rescue to take place. And then he said, now, I need you to go to Jerusalem and wait for this power to come upon your life so that you now can become part of the link in the chain of extending to other people this good news that I brought, and you can rescue them from their drowning state. Are you with me? It, a human chain of people being linked with other people, with Christ as our anchor, reaching to yet more people who the undertow of sin has carried, and they're out there, they're doggy paddling, they're like this, they're just trying, they're the people, they're in their brokenness, and they're just trying to keep their head above water. And we're offering to them to be rescued. We're saying, hey, you know, I thought Josh gave such a valid point last week when he, remember that clip he showed of the lady that was in the boat and then got back out of the boat? Right? You know, I, as you know, Jody and I have spent 30 plus years doing this now, and I can't tell you how many people I've sat with as part of the link in those chains and said, here's a hand, please grab hold of it, only for people to say, not interested. I don't understand that. I do from the vantage point that most people know that God is going to call them to step away from some things in their life. But they're drowning. I mean, they're their relationships stink. The whole thing is drowning. And they're, no. I don't want that. I'm just going to stay here and just keep doing this. I mean, aren't you exhausted? You must be exhausted by now. Why don't you just let go and let Christ, who's walking on water and has sent us to help you, why don't you just grab hold of his hand and let him bring you to the shore safely? Every great rescue has people who are willing to be used. I watched a clip. There was a homeless man being attacked by somebody. I don't know. The story didn't say who it was, but there was a good Samaritan type person that came along and he saw this thing underway. They were beating the guy up, so and so on. And as he tells his story, he's thinking, if I get involved in this thing, maybe I'll get shot, or maybe they'll try to rob me or whatever. So you know the story in the Bible, right? The story in the Bible is the robbers and the thieves, and as people are going by, some people walked out, they made sure they didn't get near the situation. But as God is unfolding his rescue plan right before our very eyes, you and I have to be willing to get our hands a little dirty, you know what I mean? We have to be willing to, get in there, and we might even the guy's trying to beat the other guy up. You might catch a shot yourself, right? Oh, I don't want that. I don't like getting hurt. Then you, a hero is willing to risk his life. Hello? That's how it works. You're willing to say, okay, whatever, I may get some bumps and bruises in this thing. You know, this guy, this Desmond Howard, amazing man. Amazing man. He was willing to take the hits against his faith, right? Nope, not moving. No, you're not going to get me to move. This is how I feel, right? And then on top of that, is willing to dodge bullets and grenades and everything else in order to try to save some fellow human beings. I don't know about you, but I don't know if you heard his words, This is where my heart is. You know, in spite of all the bumps and the bruises and what more, I have that same heart. Lord, just one more. Lord, just one more. If we could just rescue one more person. You came, you gave everything you had to make a better life for us. Spiritually and otherwise, you came to do that. You've been gracious to open our eyes to that. Thank you for opening my blind eyes and our blind eyes to that. But it's not just for us. There are still more in need of being rescued. Lord, just one more. Help us get just one more. Help us link our arms together as a chain that you have divinely put together, Lord, and help us to reach just one more, Lord. I want to pray with us this morning. You know, we could be talking about, you know, how the donkeys neighed in the manger and, you know, all that kind of stuff that goes on around Christmas. But God is still in the business of rescuing people. He is still unfolding his great rescue plan. You know, somebody may be here this morning and you know your life has been a struggle. You know that you've been doggy paddling, you've been trying to, you know, trying to do it, trying to make it happen and keep your head above water. I just want to say, if maybe you came here because somebody invited you or brought you here this morning, I just want to say, let Jesus take you by the hand. Give him your heart. Let him put some real life into you. But you know, you gotta start paddling and just reach out and take his hand. But I also want to challenge everybody here that has accepted his hand. No, that's nice. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you. But listen. We now have the privilege of reaching out our hands to someone else who is drowning. Someone else who is struggling. And offering the opportunity to them to get into the boat. Come on, man. Come on. Grab my hand. Grab my hand. And rather than us go through this Christmas season and just be thinking about all the cake and the food and the presents under the tree and all that, Lord, give us a heart. Give us a heart. Give us that heart that says, just one more. May I reach just one more person. May help me to save just one more person from their brokenness. All of us will spend time with family and friends over the holidays. Most of us. All those people in our circle, some of them are still struggling. God, give us words to say. Give us an invitation to be made, Lord. Help us to be a link in your chain. Thank you for being willing to use broken human beings like us in bringing about your ultimate rescue plan. Lord, I pray for all of us this morning. I ask that you would help us. Help anybody who's here this morning that needs your your dinghy ring to wrap around their life, Lord. Help them to let go and just embrace the life that you came to bring to them. And for the rest of us, Lord, would you put a fresh burden for the lost and the drowning in our hearts? That Desmond Doss actually cared about the people who were broken and wounded on that escarpment that day. He cared so much about them that he risked his own life to bring about one of the greatest human-to-human rescues of all of World War II. Lord, would you use us in these days, 2017, 18, and beyond, Lord, to reach just one more person. Anoint us afresh, I pray. Use us afresh. We're trying to be faithful. We're making ourselves available. Teach us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.